your Bible tonight, if you will, and open it to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26, where we're going to begin. And after you find Matthew chapter 26, go to the next book, to Mark chapter 14, and stick your hand in there, and we'll be in Mark chapter 14 and Matthew chapter 26, so hope you'll open your Bible up there and follow along. If you don't have a Bible, if you'll trust me and listen close, all right, as we read the scriptures. And boy, I trust you had a good day today. I trust you had a good day. Do y'all get the calls from telemarketers, don't you? I think nobody's immune from that, but I've kind of been amazed at what it takes to discourage them, and how little it takes. I got a call, I believe it was yesterday, or maybe it was Monday I think it was, and the guy, you know, he's got, you know, I'm always amazed that Sam Smith has such a foreign accent, but he introduced himself, you know, this who I am, and you know, and I said, yeah, and he said, well, how are you? And I said, man, I am just wonderful. How about yourself? And he hung up. So I thought, well, I guess that's all he wanted, you know. Just want to know how I was doing. And it does amaze me that, you know. I do like the fact that these United States companies use foreign people who speak English to call, because when they do that, if you throw any American idiom at them, they don't know what to do with it. All right, they don't know how to handle it, and I've had some say okay and just go on with their script, you know, because they didn't know what to say. But I've had several hang up when you do that. So, have yourself a good time when they call if you have the time. I've chatted with them, you know, and so. But anyway, it's life's exciting, isn't it? And. That's for sure. All right, everybody found Matthew 26. Look, if you will, down in verse 36. The Bible said, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then over to verse 38 in Mark chapter 14, the same situation the Bible's telling us about. And the Bible says here, the Lord said, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You said, well, those don't agree. No, neither one of them recorded everything the Lord said. He said the spirit is ready and willing, but the flesh is weak. And I want to speak to you about ready and willing, if I could. When you read your Bible, it is, I think it's easy for us sometimes, and especially an account like this, and maybe a few other places in the scripture, it's easy for us to read and then condemn the actions of the disciples. Like we look at them here and we think, good grief. I mean, here you are, you're there with the Lord, and he takes you, and he especially takes you to pray with him. And so he leaves a group here and he says, all right, y'all here and pray. And then he takes three other ones a little farther, leaves them there to pray, and he goes and he prays, and he comes back and he finds them asleep, you know. And we look at that and we think, well, how could they do that? But we look at it and we think, or at least we like to think, that we would have done differently. Well, maybe so, maybe not. All right? I don't know. There's no way to tell if you could have. But I think about these men, these disciples. They walked with the Lord. They saw his miracles. They were with him. They saw what he could do. But they're just like us, okay? They're not supermen, okay? They were human. They still had to contend with the same thing me and you have to contend with, and that is our weak flesh. Amen. All right, our weak flesh. You ever been in church? Now, this might be a good place not to raise your hand, okay? But you ever been in church, and honestly, you were just sleepy. And not necessarily, it wasn't the preacher was boring, but you were just sleepy. And you're sitting there trying to keep going to sleep. When we first moved to Texas, we had a man in our church, very faithful man in the church, but because of what he did, he was always out real late on Saturday night. And many's the time in church, he fell asleep. You say, well, he ought to stay at home. Well, I'd rather have you at church sleeping than at home doing God knows what, all right? Because you never can tell. I don't know if you're like me. I can watch TV with my eyes closed, and I'm picking up a lot more than people think I am, right? I've been doing that before, and I've heard my family talking around me. I'd be sitting there, you know, and they'd be saying, yeah, well, he's asleep. And I'd say, I hear everything you're saying. And I heard it all right? So you never can tell what people are picking up. But, hey, I'm just telling you, we all deal with the same flesh, okay? Every one of us. I believe our Lord has a great desire to walk close to us. I believe he wants to fellowship with us, and he wants us to have a close walk with him. But the thing that prevents it is often it's our sin, okay? You say, well, I wish I didn't do that. Well, the reason we have such trouble with that sin is because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, all right? The flesh is weak. So just a few things. Take your Bible, Romans chapter 8, okay? Romans chapter 8. We're going to try to help with this a little bit tonight and try to give you some things that you can do that will help you to strengthen that bond that you ought to have with the Lord. But we need to understand some things. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's writing, and he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, folks, that's an amazing verse. It is a verse a lot of people do not believe that profess to be Christians. Because there's a lot of people that believe that you can be saved and then later on get the Holy Spirit. That is not true, all right? That's not true at all, because the Bible's real plain. He says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't belong to the Lord if the Holy Spirit of God does not dwell in you. If you do not have that Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, you're not saved, all right? Because when you get saved, that's part of the transaction, all right? The Holy Spirit moves in. Now, he may not have control, but he's there. If you're saved, he's there. The Holy Spirit dwells in the man that's saved. And it is the Spirit of God that communes with our spirit, okay? It's that Spirit of God. Take your Bible to Galatians a little bit further in the New Testament, right? After 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Galatians chapter 5, would you? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. You're going to say, preacher, I've heard these verses. Good, we're going to hear them again, all right? Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. All right, we're to live in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. And I want you to notice those are capital S's. That's the Holy Spirit, all right? That's the Holy Spirit of God. We're to live in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. You said, I can't do it. Well, you can do it because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And it is that Holy Spirit that communes with man. It's the Spirit of God that dwells in us. It's the spirit of man, the man that's saved, that's willing to do what God wants him to do. All right? There's a willingness in there, all right? And it's ready. We said, well, I'm ready and I'm willing, but man, I'm still having problems. Well, one of the problems is you don't yield to that spirit. We don't yield to that spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is not, you just let me be real blunt, it's not a bully. He's not going to force his way and his will on you. But he's going to do his best to get you to do what God wants you to do. But you have to yield to him. The Bible says, you know, his servant ye are to whom ye yield yourself to obey. It's up to us. We have the privilege. I can yield myself to the Holy Spirit, or I can resist the Holy Spirit. Sunday morning, the alarm clock goes off. You crack one eye open, and you look at it. And the flesh says, oh man, the bed feels good. Oh, it feels so good. And you go, sure does. But the Holy Spirit encourages you, get up. Get up. But the flesh has to yield to that spirit. The Holy Spirit will not take your left, or whichever side of the bed you get out on, all right? If you get out on the left side, the Holy Spirit will not take your left leg, throw it up in there and fling it out, all right? You've got to yield. You've got to say, okay, I'm getting up. I'm getting up. I'll get up. I've said that to my wife. She'd say, get up. Get up, you know, not necessarily on Sunday, but any old day, usually on Saturday. Okay, I'll get up. I had surgery one time. I had sinus surgery. And, man, I come out from the anesthesia, and I'm laying in that hospital bed, you know, in recovery area. And I hear the doctors around, but, man, you've got that sedation, and it's still in you, and I'm going, oh, man, I'm just going to lay here a little longer. And I could hear them talking around me. And finally, the doctor came in and said, well, if we can't get him up, we'll just have to admit him. And I'd heard all the things they had said before that. My wife was in there, and they were telling her that. And right about then, I said, okay, I'm getting up. I didn't want to. The flesh said, just lay here, man, you know. Found out later they had injected me or given me so much morphine, no wonder I was zapped out, you know. But, I didn't want to do it. Hey, the flesh is that way. The flesh will seek to control you. The Holy Spirit lives in you, but you have to yield to that flesh. You have to yield to that spirit. You have to yield yourself to him, all right? The problem is the flesh is still the same old flesh. Yep, when you got saved, the whole Spirit of God moved in, but the flesh didn't move out. Still have that same old flesh. And that's where the problem comes in, all right? Your flesh didn't get changed. There's an old song that says, I've been changed. I've been newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made. When the Lord came and stayed in my heart, oh yes, I've been changed. But the problem is the spirit came in, but the flesh didn't get changed. You still got that same flesh. It hasn't changed one bit. It still likes to sin. It still wants to sin. All right? Nothing has changed. Like you being on a diet. If you like donuts, just because you're on a diet, your flesh doesn't say, well, I just don't like them anymore. No, there's still that sense, all right? Hey, man, I just finished up 20 weeks on a diet. I want to tell you, all 20 weeks, I would have loved to have had some chocolate peanut M&Ms, all right? Boy, I wanted them every day. The flesh never said, okay, fine, I'll lay off, I'll leave you alone. No, never did that. Never did that. Period. I'd be at school, kids at school. I want to buy a Hershey bar. Oh, man. I touch not the unclean thing, you know. But, hey, my flesh still wanted it. Hey, the lust of the flesh is just as strong as before you got saved, after you got saved. It's just as strong. That there isn't a lessening. The want to, if you will, of the flesh hasn't changed. You with me? Just didn't. It's still dead, all right? That old flesh still dead. It's dying. You can count on it. This old body you live in, this body of flesh, it's dying. And it will die, all right? The Lord doesn't come back, it's going to die. It will. It hadn't changed. You still got the same flesh. So how in the world are we going to take care of that? How do we do it? You've got to conquer the flesh, okay? You've got to conquer the flesh. Now, can I say this? It's a lot easier to say that than it is to do it. Say, how do I do it? What am I going to do? Well, take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, all right? You're in Galatians, next books, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Look, one verse, all right? One verse, verse 27. Verse 27. Look, if you're going to conquer the flesh, one of the first things you need to do is right here. Neither give place to the devil. You say, what do you mean by that? That means you need to put some distance between your flesh and temptation. You need to put some distance between those two. You say, well, man, I never know when I'm going to be tempted. For a little bit, that's true, but every one of you know what you have trouble with in this life. You know the sin that comes after you. Some people call it a besetting sin. You know what it is, all right? And you know what's going to attack you. It'll be there, you know it, you can count on it. Smartest thing you can do, stay away from it as much as you can, all right? As much as you can, stay away from it. Put some distance in there, all right? The devil needs just a little bitty place to bring great problems into your life. So the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Don't let him have any room. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. I told you I was on a diet. Trust me, I didn't go to the donut shop while I was on a diet. You don't do it, right? Hey, if you're a drunk, you don't say, well, you know, I haven't had anything to drink now in 6 months. I think I'll go down to Billy Bob's and see my old friends, but I'm not going to drink. Well, that'd be a fool move, wouldn't it? What a dumb thing to do, all right? And pick your sin, okay? Whatever the sin that really gives you a hard time. Hey, let's say it's gossip. We'll pick something that a lot of people say, oh, it's not that big a deal. Hey, let's say it's gossip, all right? Well, look, if you deal with that, you know who likes to gossip, don't you? When the phone rings and their name comes up, might I suggest don't answer it? Just look, nope, not answering that. Not going to do it. Why? Well, neither give place to the devil. Don't allow yourself to be put in the place of temptation, okay? Stay away from it. Stay away from that spot. Knowing where it's at. You say, well, I'll still accident. I know you might, but at least put some distance between you, all right? That's one reason for separation. That is one reason for separation. The Bible said, touch not the unclean thing. Well, you can't touch it if you can't reach it. That was profound, wasn't it? You can't touch it if you can't reach it. Separate yourself from it. The Bible says, come out from among them. Why? Because that's the crowd that causes you to sin. Separation's an important Bible doctrine, okay? By the way, if you separate yourself and you really change everything in your life, you'll be surprised of how many people will stay away from you. You won't have to stay away from them. Now they may say, well, man, they've gone off their nut. They've become a religious, you know. That's fine, religious fanatic, but they'll leave you alone. So the temptation doesn't come, all right? That's part of the reason for it. Why? Not that we'll be isolated, but we can keep a distance between our flesh and the temptation that just wreaks destruction on that flesh. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Oh, listen, just give yourself some room. Don't give place to the devil. The second thing I think you need to do if you're going to conquer that flesh is get in your Bible. Just get in the Bible. You there in Ephesians? Look in chapter 5, would you? Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 26. The Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water, notice, by the word. By the word. The word of God can clean us up where nothing else can reach. The word of God can clean us up on the inside. It can cleanse our thoughts. It can cleanse our mind. And look, if you're battling with temptation, it is a battle, number one, in the mind. It is a battle right there. And if you'll read your Bible, hey, we encourage you, read your Bible. You say, why? To help you. To help you to avoid temptation. To help you to stay right with God. To help you not to allow the flesh to conquer you. Why? It keeps you clean, all right? Keeps you clean. It'll clean where nothing else can reach, all right? It'll do it. Man, when I was a kid, I thought Mom could reach places nothing else could when she'd get that rag in my ear, all right? But they could do it, all right? Hey, but the Word of God can cleanse where nothing else. Nothing else will do. You need it. But wait a minute. You need the Word of God not just for its cleansing aspect, all right? The Word of God also will strengthen you. It will strengthen you. Look, it's from the Bible that we're to get our convictions. It is from the Bible that we're to get those principles, those things that we said, this I believe, and I'm going to stand on this, and I'll not back down because this is right. Hey, we get that from the Word of God. There's nothing like the Word of God to strengthen you, to put something in you, okay? It'll encourage you. It'll encourage you. Who doesn't need encouragement? And we say, read your Bible. Well, I have such a hard time. Read it for you. I've said many times, don't sit down with the Bible and think, I got to read 25 pages. Or I have to read 3 chapters. Man, if all you can read is 4 or 5 verses, but those verses get in you, it'll do something for you, okay? It will encourage you. I read in the Bible, and I read about some folks that were able to overcome the flesh and make a grand success for God. And you open your Bible and you read that, and you think, wow. Hey, they're no different from me. You remember the people in the Bible, they weren't superhumans. They're just like us. And if they could do it, you can do it. If they can make a success, if they can overcome the flesh, if they can do it, you can do it. Hey, if nothing else, read the story of Samson and think, okay, he didn't overcome the flesh. The flesh overcame him. Look what happened to him. I don't want that to happen to me. You can be encouraged from the negative side, if you will, all right? It's not just the positive side, but the negative side. Well, we need that, okay? We need that. Who doesn't need a good example, all right? A good example, it'll encourage us. Help us to build our own resolve to stick with it. Look, I read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I've never faced anything remotely like what they did. But when I read the story of what they faced and how they said to the king, hey, our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we're still not going to do what you want us to do. Hey, what resolve, what encouragement. And if I, man, if those three guys could stand risking their life, surely I can withstand my own flesh, can I? I mean, I'm not fixing to be executed. So I can stand. I can have a little bit. I can draw that strength from those. What an encouragement. I read the Bible and I think, I don't know, you ever stop and think about it? When you get to heaven, you're going to meet those people? You ever stop to think we're going to meet them? Hey, you're in heaven. How you doing? What's your name? I'm Daniel. Daniel. The Daniel. The Daniel that said he didn't want to defile himself with the king's meat. That's you? Yeah, that's me. The Daniel that went ahead and prayed and you were thrown into the lion's den and those lions didn't eat you. That Daniel? Yeah, that's me. I'm afraid maybe we're going to say, see you. Because if he said, what happened to you is you live for God. Well, people made fun of me. I quit. Come on. One of these days we're going to be in their presence. Those people there in Hebrews 11, the great heroes of the faith, we will stand in their presence. We're going to see them. We'll get acquainted with them face to face. And we're going to stand there and think, look what they endured, and I couldn't take a little heckling from the crowd and the world. Oh, my soul. You know, I wonder if we won't get to heaven, we won't sort of hide, you know. But I read those stories and I think, man, if they could, surely I can stick out what I'm enduring. Surely I can conquer my flesh. Surely I can. Hey, we need to do it. Get in your Bible. Boy, you'll get the encouragement. You'll get the strength. You'll get the cleansing that you need. But not only that, you bring the flesh into subjection to the Spirit. I said to you a while ago, the Bible says, His servant ye are to whom ye obey. You need to teach your flesh what no means. You need to teach your flesh what no means. No. When my kids were little, I decided I will teach them what no means. Now, you said, why'd you pick on them? Well, earlier in my life, I taught myself what no meant. There were times in my life I was up. I was out of school. I was working. I had an income, and I had some money, and there were some things that I wanted. There was nothing wrong with the things that I wanted, nothing evil about them at all. But I decided, even though I've got the money, I'm going to tell myself no. Why? Because I wanted to conquer this old flesh just a little bit. Just wanted to conquer this flesh a little bit. And I wanted my flesh to understand what the word no meant. And I wanted my kids to understand here's what the word no means. You ever been in the store and a little kid comes up to dad or mom, Mom, can I have this? And their dad says no. What do they do? Well, I mean, you know, you'd thought the world was coming to an end. They had been bitten by, you know, half the fire ant bed outside, or, you know, surely they'd been attacked by a dreadful wasp or something. Man, they're just screaming. Why? Because their parents never taught them to take the word no. We've never taught ourselves to say no to this old flesh. We need to learn to do that, all right? Hey, you have to forbid something before you can forsake it. Are you with me? You have to forbid something before you can forsake it. And we just have to learn to do that, all right? Now, I want to be honest with you. It is a continuing project. It's not a one time and done. Oh, I did it once. I've got it taken care of. Oh, no, you don't. Because you're going to run into it again. You're going to have to deal with that same sin again. You're going to have to deal with that same flesh again. Just because you told it no and conquered it that one time, don't feel like, man, let's just celebrate the victory's been won. No, you're going to have to fight it again. It's a continuing process. You said, how long does it go on before you know you've won? When you die, okay? Right after you die, you can say, I whooped it, all right? You said nobody will hear it. The Lord will, all right? Hey, it's a continuing thing. And the last thing let me say to you is, if you're going to conquer the flesh, you need to build a very, very close relationship with the Lord. You need to build a close relationship with Him. You need to have a close walk with God. I don't know what your experience was like as a child. I had the best parents a guy could have. I had good parents. They loved me. They taught me. They did so much for me, helped me. Boy, a ton of time. They spanked me when I needed spanking, okay? And they didn't find out about everything, thankfully, but I got enough, okay? I'm glad they did. And you know, when I got older, I no longer worried about, well, and I don't have to listen to you anymore because you can't whoop me now. But you see, I had a close relationship with them. I never want to do anything to break their heart. I never want to do anything to disappoint them. I have a wife. I've got a close relationship with her. I don't do everything she says. But I'm tell you what, I don't want to break her heart. I want to keep that close relationship with her. He said, "Preacher, why are you saying that?" Because, you see, it works the same way with the Lord. If you develop a real close relationship with Him, you put in the time, because it takes time. You put in the effort, because it takes some effort. And it means that I'm going to think about pleasing Him, not just pleasing me. Hey, a lot of husbands have trouble with their wife because they only think about pleasing themselves. Now, flip the coin. A lot of women have trouble with their husband because they only think about pleasing themselves. All right? I want to say this to you. Your relationship with the Lord will be a whole lot better if you get concerned about pleasing Him. All right? Pleasing Him. You ever watch some goofy TV show where somebody's trying to butter up their rich uncle or rich friend or somebody because they want to make sure you will it all to me? Ever seen? We've seen those kind of shows. You've heard about them. Hey, wait a minute. God's already willed it to us. We're already joint heirs with Christ. Don't you want to please the one that's done that? Build a close relationship with Him. You say, why is it so important? Well, another reason it's so important, if you have a close relationship with Him, you're going to care when you realize you're out of fellowship with Him. You're out of fellowship with Him. Hey, I like good fellowship. I don't want to be out of fellowship. I have one brother in this world. He may not be the world's greatest, but he's the best I've got. And he can say the same thing about me, all right? I enjoy being together with him. I don't want to do something. You know, I've told you about the time we were kids and we were throwing rocks at each other. And we were just throwing rocks at each other to pass the time of day waiting on the school bus. We were not mad. We were not mad. Really weren't trying to really hit each other. But we were just throwing rocks in the general direction. And I heaved one up. He bent down right at the moment I heaved it. And all of a sudden, I became the most accurate arm in the world. Hit him right on the head. I'm going to tell you something. I felt terrible. I felt terrible. Boy, don't you feel bad when you realize you're out of fellowship with God? See, if you've ever had that close relationship with Him, you'll want to keep it. You'll want to keep it. When my brother got married, I wondered what it would do to our relationship. I did. You always wonder about those kind of things. What's it going to do? Hey, when you sin, get you out of fellowship with God the Father. Now, if you've never known what it is to have good fellowship with Him, you don't know what you're missing. But if you do, you want to keep it. And if you do, what that'll do for you is it'll cause you to step up. And when you realize you've sinned, you're going to confess it. You're going to make it right. You're going to get it right just as quick as you can. Just as quick as you can get it right, you're going to try to do it, all right? Why? I want to have that sweet fellowship with Him. Don't you? Oh, the spirit, it's ready and willing. But the flesh is weak. It's our job. Our job to make the flesh cooperate with the Spirit. That's our job. That's not God's. That's our job to make that flesh. Now, we may not like it, okay, but we can make it go along and do what's right. The flesh may not like being held back, but you can still make it go along and do it. But it's your job to do it. In your case, it's my job to do it in my case. But I want to say this to you. It's worth the effort. Because the fellowship with God's worth it. I can remember going to camp, youth camp, as a teenager. Knowing I wasn't right with God. Now, y'all going to think it's the nuttiest thing you ever heard. But I remember going to camp as a teenager knowing that there were things wrong in my life. But I began to prepare myself for the invitation. You said you're planning to get right. No, I was planning to stay wrong. I went with the idea I ain't going forward. I'm not going to do that. It's an invitation. Not going to do it. That was before the preacher ever preached, okay? I was already encouraging the flesh. Hang tough, buddy. All right? Now, how stupid. But you wait a minute. Wait a minute. I was still a kid. We got adults doing the same thing nowadays. Determined, I'm going to hang on to that sin. Okay, I don't have the fellowship with God that ought to. I know I'm not pleasing Him. And the truth is, I'm getting beat up down here because of my yielding to the flesh instead of yielding to the Spirit. But I'm going to keep doing it, all right? Oh, how foolish we are. How foolish we are. Listen, Spirit's ready. The Spirit's willing. It's the flesh we need to work on, okay? I hope you'll go to work on it. Hope you will. Hope you'll walk out of here tonight saying, I'm going to go to work on that. Look, I can't do it for you. It's your job. Your job. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, help us see our responsibility. Lord, you've done everything.